We've begun the season of Lent, and it is best viewed as a pilgrimage, a time for a 40-day journey, from dead ashes to living water. Noah's world of the first reading was ashes, deceit, infidelity, betrayals, broken relationships, injustice, murder. Noah had to rise from it and set out for a new life. It took him 40 days. This past Wednesday, we took ashes that symbolize all that needs to die in our lives, sin and selfishness and indifference, and sprinkled them rather than smeared them for all to see. And we are now like Noah, seeking the cleansing waters of Easter, where we will be challenged to start all over again. As we are asked, do you reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit? The bare bones description of St. Mark in our gospel of the temptation in the desert shows Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, meditating and praying to the Father about his coming ministry. St. Mark takes note of the desert experience of Jesus without describing in detail, as St. Matthew and St. Luke do in their gospels. St. John does not mention Jesus' temptation at all. 40 days does seem a long time to fast and to pray. And if we look through Scripture, 40 days has great significance. Noah on the water, Moses on the mountain, the same number of days that Jesus would be with his disciples after the resurrection and before his ascension. Again, it helps to have a focus to get us through these days with encouragement and purpose. That is to say, it is essential for each of us in Lent to have a spiritual goal or goals. A few years ago, I read a poem that was written in England that makes reference to an industrial city of Birmingham, which would be similar to any major industrial city, not like, I suppose, Spokane because of its rural roots. But I think it's an effective way for us to begin this time reflecting. The poem begins, "When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with the crown of thorns. Red were his wounds and deep, for those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They never hurt a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown more tender. They would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, 'Forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And it rained a winter rain that drenched him through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against the wall and cried for Calvary." The point of this poem is that the indifference of the people was worse than the act of hostility when they nailed him to the cross. And so perhaps a first goal for us this Lent is to ask ourselves, do we take our relationship with Christ for granted? Would indifference be more accurate a description, especially in this year of pandemic? Prior to my appointment to Spokane, I celebrated the funeral mass for the mother of that family that I'd known since my early days teaching. As with any large Catholic family with six kids, there were bound to be a few who were more wild than others. In this case, one of the sons. Planning the funeral mass for his mom, the son, who had been probably the most popular in all the family, a great athlete, clearly loved by his entire family, but wild during his high school and college years, he asked to speak with me alone when we finished the meeting planning the mass. So when we spoke, he wanted me to know, without the rest of the family hearing, how awful he felt for about 20 years before, when in college, he had been kicked out for drinking and for poor grades and a stupid prank of a rather prestigious Catholic college. But what pained him the most, his life was, after all, successful now, was that time when his father got news that his son was being expelled and had to drive him back home. They returned to the family home in Marin, and he went to speak to his mom while his father went upstairs. Later on, he went up to speak to his father, and he could tell that his dad had been crying, the first and only time he ever saw his dad cry. It would be years later that he realized just how stupid and selfish he had been. His dad had died a few years before the mom, and I had done that funeral. But now, as we were planning to bury his mom, he felt a tremendous sense of remorse for the pain he had caused them growing up, and regret that it took him so long to say he was sorry. Now, both the poem and the young man's story present an image for us as we move through Lent, perhaps a second insight for us this Lenten Sunday, the image of our Lord weeping. In the Gospels, we read that Jesus wept once overlooking Jerusalem when he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." The second was over his friend Lazarus's death, the death of one of his friends. But then on the night that he was to die, Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, but friends." And when one of these friends betrayed him, it's hard not to sense not only the pain, but possibly the tears of Jesus when he said, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" The weeping of Jesus stayed with the Christian community, and especially was important in the 15th and 16th centuries in what's called the German woodcuts. Albrecht Dürer created an image of the thorn crowned over Jesus, sobbing with his head in his hands. It would be this image that on the first Friday devotions of St. Margaret Mary depicted in that stained glass window here in the sanctuary, where she heard Jesus say, "Behold the heart that has loved people so much and has received so little love in return." And he wept. Maybe that's another image for us in this Lenten season as we begin. Jesus who weeps. Now, what we do for Lent, what we surrender, is not for its own sake or for our own self-improvement. What we do in the acts of charity or additional prayer or participation in Mass, the sacrifices given, all of this should have as a goal for us a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. The reality of Jesus who weeps tells us that Jesus is someone with feelings, a man like us in all things but sin. Someone who cares enough to be pained by what his friends do. We are all his friends. And because of this love, our betrayals, our sin, is a betrayal of our Lord. Now, like the father of the wild son, whose tears were not of anger, but of love, if we contemplate this image, I believe it will help us grow in holiness and turn from our sins. A final thought on temptation. St. Augustine said that we do not know ourselves except by trial or temptation. A person can have a self-image of being strong, self-controlled, disciplined, brave, but when a temptation comes along, they might discover something different. A retreat director used the image of the way a wolf attacks a sheep. Now, I think we can relate to this because I was driving up to Colville last winter and I saw that sign that says, "If you see wolves and mountain lions, to notify the sheriff." So we have wolves running loose here in our diocese. Now, having grown up in a city, the notion of a wolf is unknown to me until I came to this diocese, but when you speak to farmers, they will tell you that the quickest way to bring down a sheep when a wolf attacks is not to attack its legs and make it stumble. The wolf goes for the sheep or the lamb's neck. And when he sinks his teeth into the neck, the sheep cannot bleat. Therefore, the shepherd cannot hear the noise of the lamb or the sheep. The devil does something similar. He wants first to disable our voice so that we do not call out to the Lord. Think about this. Have you ever noticed when you try to set aside time to pray, something always comes up? all of a sudden you remember some chore you should do, or person you should call, or more likely a quick look at your email or what's on TV. The evil one will do almost anything to keep you and me from praying. Now, to those at home watching, be honest. Is there a part of you that wants to stay in the comfort of your home and never return to Mass in person again? Is this just a coincidence? No, the evil one wants to attack at the throat, take our voice away so that we won't call out to God in prayer. Whenever we give in to temptation, it takes power from us. But when we resist temptation, through God's grace and our own self-discipline, we take power from it. The devil wants to take power from us to disable us, but when we resist him, we gain spiritual strength. Our temptations teach us how weak we are and how foolish it is to rely only on our own strength. We all remember when Peter denied Jesus. It wasn't that Peter was weak. It was that he thought he was too strong. Think about it. We need to unite ourselves to Jesus in prayer. And then we will receive peace, joy, hope, and strength. As we continue our Mass on this first Sunday of Lent, let us have a focus, a spiritual goal for these days, namely a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us leave Mass later this morning with the knowledge that while temptation is there, we can recognize it and with God's help, resist it.